This podcast was recorded Thursday, June 7th at 11:30 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like the Ohio House clerk might switch jobs and become an auctioneer. It might be easier on his voice.
Strayhorn, Representative Lips.
Representative Ryan Smith.
Representative Lips votes Representative Smith, Representative Manning.
Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown, hoping to talk a little less than House Clerk Brad Young had to on Wednesday. We'll also hear why medical pot dispensaries will not be stocked by the September deadline.
And we will catch up with our governor in our weekly segment, John Kasich, GPS.
But first, how the sausage gets made in the Statehouse.
The bearded Fred Strayhorn.
Representative Becker.
The timeless Andy Thompson.
Representative Sarah.
The illustrious Fred Strayhorn.
Representative Becker.
Thompson to infinity and beyond.
A lot of obviously bored lawmakers there. They took a while and they put on full display the division within Republicans in the Ohio House. But after 11 votes, Ohio House members chose a new speaker, Representative Ryan Smith of Bidwell, who immediately called for unity.
I'm not looking to be retaliatory about that. We live in a society where people can make their own choices. I think at this point, I'm going to bring everybody back together and ask for a clean slate and start to rebuild trust.
Smith's selection came 2 months after former Speaker Cliff Rosenberger abruptly quit as FBI investigators looked into his relationships and travel with Statehouse lobbyists.
Joining us now to talk about this soap opera is Ohio Public Radio and TV Statehouse Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. Karen, welcome to Snollygoster.
Hey, it's great to talk to you guys.
Yeah, let's start with this cumbersome process of selecting the speaker. It really was clear from the very first vote that Ryan Smith was the choice to be speaker by a plurality.
Not having the received constitutional majority of all the votes cast, the House will advance to the second voting of the nomination.
It was clear on the second vote.
Cast, the House will advance to the third vote.
It was clear on the third vote.
Having received a constitutional majority of all the votes cast, the House will advance to the fourth voting on the nomination.
Why did the House have to vote 11 times?
Well, state law says they can do it. A law from 1953 says that they could go 10 rounds, and then if nobody had won the majority, which in this case was 46 votes because there were 91 members present, 91 out of 98 because Speaker Cliff Rosenberger, former Speaker Cliff Rosenberger's seat is still unfilled. So nobody got 46, so they could go to 11 rounds, and then the person who got the most votes, however much the most was, that person would then be elected. So this was in state law.
So they couldn't just stop at 9?
Before.
They couldn't stop at 9? 8?
Yeah.
They had to go to 10.
How many people knew about this 1953 law a month ago?
I think not too many because it's never been used. And this is really an unprecedented vote. It was really historic to watch this happen. And, you know, for people like me, this was exciting. For other people, it might have been incredibly boring. But it was really interesting to watch the process. And one thing that needs to be noted here is that the leaders didn't change. I mean, the first vote, Ryan Smith had 44 votes. The 11th vote, he had 44 votes. And Representative Fred Strayhorn, the minority leader, had 28 votes in the first vote. He had 27 by the 11th. But still, the leaders did not change.
Yeah, you can see how the Democrats sticking with their guy, Fred Strayhorn. That happens all the time in speaker votes. But why after, say, the third or fourth votes, did Republicans say, you know what, this is a lost cause. Okay, I don't support Ryan Smith, but let's just approve him and get it over with. Why didn't that happen?
Well, typically, when a nominee comes to the floor, like you'll see in January, which is the next time a speaker will be voted on by the full House, Democrats and Republicans will vote for that leader. There's an agreement here. But this time, Democrats were saying, hey, this is a Republican problem in terms of what happened with former Speaker Rosenberger and the questions that are still out there surrounding the investigation into him. They were concerned, and they took it as an opportunity to say, hey, we're not going to help Republicans solve their problem in terms of not agreeing on a speaker. So we're going to vote for our guy, and we're going to say that it's about our values and the things that we believe in. There were a couple Democrats who broke from that. There are 33 Democratic members in the House, and Fred Strayhorn got 28 votes and then 27 at the end. So there were a couple Democrats who broke away. But for the most part, Democrats did stick with their minority leader.
And the more dysfunction, the better for Democrats. They point to this government gone awry, as we've heard recently. You mentioned the January situation coming up. I want to talk about that in a few minutes. But first, what happens now? The House has been unable to pass bills for weeks since Cliff Rosenberger resigned. Will we see a rush of bills passed?
Well, as we are recording this right now, the House is in session passing bills and doing it in rapid succession because there are a lot of bills that were really going to go forward anyway. They just needed House action. There are a couple, though, that are going to take some work and that are going to bring up some comments on the floor. I mean, today, as we're talking, a bill to crack down on payday lenders, to put a strict interest rate cap on them and set new regulations on them, that's going to be on the floor. A ban on mandatory overtime for nurses. Some criminal justice reform issues with regard to compensation for people who've been wrongfully imprisoned. And also the plan to buy voting machines, which are going to be needed in 2020. So those are coming out today. But then there's others. The so-called Stand Your Ground bill. That's something that Democrats really don't want, and even Governor Kasich has said he doesn't want. There are some other bills that are waiting in the wings, so to speak, that could have a little bit more commentary. And so there's a session today. There are two more sessions later this month, and there are more than 150 bills out there that need some action on them. I don't think lawmakers will get through that whole stack, but they'll get through with some big ones.
Do you think Republicans can unify going forward, or will this speaker fight be even more bitter after the new legislature takes office in January?
Well, that's been the undercurrent through this the whole time. The idea that Ryan Smith wants to be speaker next year, and so does Larry Householder, the former speaker, guy from Perry County, who had left because of term limits in the early 2000s. But also there was an FBI inquiry into some activities going on around him. There were never any charges filed, but he's back and he wants to be speaker. He has a coalition who is supporting him. And Ryan Smith noted throughout this process that Andy Thompson, who was one of the three Republican candidates on the floor during the speaker fight, that Andy Thompson was a proxy for Larry Householder, who was not running for the short-term speaker's position, but it seemed didn't want Ryan Smith to have the short-term speaker's position for two reasons. First of all, the speaker controls the legislation that comes to the floor. And secondly, the speaker has a major say in the spending that comes out of the Ohio House's campaign committee. And that's a big deal because that's the money that goes to candidates who are running for the House. And certainly Larry Householder has candidates he wants to see elected. He got involved in some primaries here, about 11 primaries, and his candidates won in about 10 of them. He thought that would give him an advantage going forward into next year's speaker's election. Well, Ryan Smith now is the speaker. Perhaps that gives him an advantage going into next year's speaker's election. So that's the undercurrent through this whole thing.
What's the feeling, Karen, about Larry Householder? You know, he left under a cloud. It was a while ago, but are Republicans ready to give him another shot at the top position in the House?
Some Republicans certainly are. I mean, there were Republicans who, when the caucus met to have their first voting session to talk about who was going to be speaker, and they couldn't agree, they didn't have a majority of 50 votes out of 65 members, because that's what the caucus said it wanted to have to take a nominee to the floor. There were people who were standing behind Larry Householder saying he was their guy. And so there are certainly Republicans who back him. He has a lot of friends. He has support. But, you know, Ryan Smith has a lot of friends, too, and the speeches on the floor before the vote talked about his experience and what he's been doing as the House Finance Committee chair, pushing the budget through, this sort of thing. So it's really a battle of two very different individuals who have very different approaches. But yeah, I think Larry Householder still does have friends here and does have new friends here that he's made.
Certainly something we'll be following in the coming months. Karen Kassler from the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. Thanks for joining Snollygoster.
Hey, great to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Karen. You know what could help the mood at the State House, Steve? Marijuana.
That probably would lighten things up a little bit.
Well, recreational marijuana is still illegal, but medical marijuana is legal in Ohio. And those dreams of Ohioans having access to medical pot by September 8th went up in smoke this week.
They certainly did. We long suspected that this idea of actually happening by the September 8th deadline was about as realistic as a Cheech and Chong skit. This week it became official when State Department of Commerce leaders threw up their hands and they finally admitted that they will not have the pot program up and running on time. The department's Stephanie Gostomski says growers will not have enough time to harvest pot and get it to dispensaries.
We thought we were going to have three One inspection occurred. No certificates of operation have been issued at this time.
This is obviously a blow to advocates for medical pot, perhaps none bigger than Kenny Yuko. He's the Senate Minority Leader, longtime state lawmaker, and he says the state has failed patients, including children suffering seizures.
To hold a child, hold them in your arms, to have them have that seizure in your arms, to see the mom and dad living in fear day in and day out, knowing that the next seizure could cause brain damage or death. We had to do better. We should have done better, but we didn't do better.
Mike, this really was the worst-kept secret in the state of Ohio, and really no surprise whatsoever that this program will not be ready by September 8th.
No, and in the defense of the state, we haven't done this before. This is really outside the box. They have had 2 years, and maybe they could have streamlined the process.
A lot of other states we could have learned from.
We could have streamlined the process, but there's two things. One, we have never done this before, so we have to figure out, learn as we go how to do this. And two, there is a lot of money involved, and not everyone can grow marijuana. So there are licenses, and when there are licenses, there's a selection process, and people get selected, and people don't get selected.
Sometimes convicted drug dealers are accidentally involved in the process.
Exactly. And the folks who don't get selected are angry because they're not going to make the money they hope to make. So they're going to challenge the selection process. So it really is not that surprising that it is hard to do. I think it'll be up and running. But September was just not going to happen.
It really has been a comedy of errors getting this program up and running from 2 years ago when lawmakers pushed it into law. We still don't know when it's going to happen. You say by the first of the year. That might be optimistic as well. A lot of these growers still need to pass inspection. That means they haven't even planted the seeds yet.
Yeah, the process is working. I don't think we have testing facilities yet. They haven't been licensed yet. The dispensaries were named this week, so they're getting there. I think that the pressure is still on to open as soon as possible. I don't think by letting the September 8th deadline slide, which is technically violating state law, but there's no penalty for violating that deadline or missing that deadline. It'll happen. My guess is it'll happen, again, because there is money to be made. The longer they wait, the less money to be made. The investment, it takes longer to make a return on that investment. So money is driving this. This will happen soon after September, I believe.
And all the longtime pot advocates, the people who are behind the failed Responsible Ohio, the recreational pot proposed amendment that failed a couple years ago, they're all saying, we told you so. They were saying from the get-go, this was too optimistic of a deadline.
And there's the threat or promise to put a recreational marijuana question on the ballot. And that's hanging over this process as well. So maybe if the state can get this right and get it going and show that they can make this work and help the people who really need it, state officials who are opposed to recreational marijuana might be able to say, look, we're helping the folks who need it. We don't need to open the barn doors and let pot be legal everywhere, at least not now. It's time now for John Kasich GPS.
Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Each week we get out our tracking device and follow the governor around the country or up and down the Sunday morning TV talk show dial.
And this week he chose Face the Nation on CBS and criticized the Trump administration for tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and the European Union.
I mean, we're punishing our friends. If they were cheating, that's one thing. But they slapped us on under a phony excuse. We're going alone on that. We withdrew from the Paris Accords. We withdrew from the Iranian deal.
But the governor never left Ohio. He did that from a local studio, probably because one of his twin daughters, Emma, ran in the Ohio State High School track and field meet at the Jesse Owens Stadium at Ohio State.
Emma's team made it on the podium. Emma, three-time All-Ohio track star, four times at Jesse Owens Stadium. You rock, Emma. God bless you and everyone that's been following us. Thank you.
The Worthington Christian Girls 4x200-meter relay placed 7th in the state. So congrats to them and to Emma and her sister Reese, her twin sister Reese. Reese Kasich, they are both headed off to college next year. And as a former track athlete and a father of twins, I have great admiration for twins, especially twins who run.
Hopefully they run better than their father ran in 2016.
He's still running.
He's not running until he's running, right?
He's running.
unofficially.
He's just pacing himself.
Just pacing himself. That will do it for this week's episode of Stollygoster. Be sure to tell your friends about us. You can also rate us on iTunes. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Stollygoster from WOSU Public Media.